Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Saha Viryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Ma Vivishavahai Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Page 26.
Good. Text 5 and 6. Right? That's where we are?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Vibhu, the second, appearing during Svarochisha Manvantara. Vedashira was a very celebrated sage. From the womb of his wife, whose name was Tushita, came the avatar named Vibhu. Vibhu remained a brahmachari and never married throughout his life. From him, 88,000 other saintly persons took lessons on self-control, austerity, and similar behavior. Srimad Bhagavatam 8.1, 21, and 22. The mana was Svarochisha, the son of Agni, named Svarochisha. Vibhu appeared as the avatar during his reign. The associates of these avatars can be found in the 8th canto. The Lord known as Vibhu was born from Vedashiras in the womb of Tushita. Text 7 to 8. Satyasena the third appearing during Uttama Manvantara. It's like you have Henry the Eighth, so Surasena. Okay. In this Manvantara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared from the womb of Sunrita, who was the wife of Dharma, the demigod in charge of religion. The Lord was celebrated as Satyasena, and he appeared with other demigods known as the Satyavratas. Satyasena, along with his friend Satyajit, who was the king, of heaven, Indra, killed all the untruthful, impious, and misbehaved yakshas, rakshasas, and ghostly living entities who gave pains to other living entities. Srimad Bhagavatam 8.1, 25, 26. Yes?
Is it correct to say that in each mano there is an avatar?
It appears that this is how it's being described. So the Manvantara avatars means the avatars that appear in the the reign of Manu, as opposed to the Manus themselves.
They come together.
It seems that they go together. So one is doing the office of Manu, is seeing that everything goes properly for mankind, and then the avatar assists Indra to get rid of those elements in the universe that are causing a disruption. Is that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That seems to be so. That's an interesting.
Yeah.
You know.
Addition.
Yeah. You know, adding to the, you know, how you say, filling out the picture. You know. Mm-hmm. And we're going, wow, you know, and then there's probably another, you know, that's like, you know, half a percent of what else could be told. But we're already, you know, going, you know, this is torture now. Right? Once, yeah, somebody's being feeling torture, somebody's head's exploding. So. Yes.
When it says wife of Dharma, is Dharma the same as Dharma Raj?
You get the idea.
Yeah.
It does. Okay. Uttama was the son of Priyavrata. Satyasena appeared during his rule. Okay, so here is Satyasena. Okay, well, because they seem to be, we had this list, right? So the third, Uttama, the son of Priyavrata, he's the Manu, right? But it says here these incarnations as follows. So you're having two. So it seems that Manvantara avatara is referring to possibly both the Manu and the other avatar. So, because Uttama is here, mm-hmm. Uttama is the son of Priyavrata, but the personality who came here is Satyasena, and then Swarochisha, son of Swarochisha or Agni. There was the second Manu, but Veda, how do you say? But Vibhu is the second. And the first is Swayambhuva, but Yajna is the one who assists. So it may have a double meaning here. Because you have Manvantara avatar rather than the Manu as the avatar.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Maybe they have two names, I don't know.
Yeah, it could be that also. Okay. Uttama was the son of Priyavrata. Satyasena appeared during his rule. That makes it as two people. His father was Dharma and his mother was Sunrita. The lord named Satyasena was born along with his brothers called Satyavratas. As a friend of Indra, he killed demons who gave pain to living entities. Text 9. Hari, the fourth, appeared during Tamasa Manvantara. So that was Tamasa, was Tamasa, the brother of Uttama. Okay. In this Manvantara, the Supreme Lord Vishnu took birth from the womb of Harini, the wife of Hari Medha, and he was known as Hari. Hari saved his devotee Gajendra, the king of elephants, from the mouth of a crocodile. Srimad Bhagavatam 8.130. Uttama's brother was Tamasa, who was the fourth Manu. During his rule, Hari appeared. Hari was born with Hari Medha as his father and Harini as his mother. So then that establishes it definitely as two.
Yeah.
Something like that. Text 10 through 12. Those performing proper sadhana daily remember Hari, the deliverer of Gajendra, in order to destroy all evil. Vaikuntha, the fifth, appeared in the Raivata Manu. So the Raivata is the twin brother of Tamasa, who is the brother of Uttama, the son of Priyavrata.
Yeah.
So it's like the whole family's involved.
It's been a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's Well, Priyavrata was somehow or another managing the universe. Because his brother before Uttanapada was doing it. And then when no one was doing it, then they asked him to do it. Mm. From the combination of Shubhra and his wife, Vaikuntha, there appeared the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vaikuntha, along with demigods who were his personal plenary expansions. Just to please the goddess of fortune, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vaikuntha, at her request, created another Vaikuntha planet, which is worshipped by everyone. Raivata was the brother of Tamasa. During his rule, Vaikuntha appeared. Shubha was his father and Vaikuntha was his mother. Vaikuntha was born along with his brothers called Vaikunthas. He created a Vaikuntha planet.
Nice.
Yeah. How you say? Not much problem here.
No.
Not much anxiety.
It's pretty smooth.
Yeah. Text 13. Yes.
What planet is that? Is that the pole star?
Trying to give us a complex here.
It's one of these days. But weren't you just...
Yes, sorry. Vaikuntha gets the idea that maybe Dhruva Loka.
Okay.
Like that. Text 13. He created an all-pervading, indestructible Mahavaikuntha planet above Satyaloka. This verse explains the planet he created. He created this planet by his own powers. Since the verb clip, like that. That's why you don't see these very often. Because that L with the dot, it's actually L and an R.
Oh, yeah.
It's la and da. Klarip. Means to be suitable. Right? Because it used to be there in our books, the earlier books, but now they generally take it out because it's so rare. But you know, we come across it in the Vedic Sanskrit, and now we come across it here. So it's not a myth. It actually exists. And it's just as hard to say.
The legend is true.
Yeah. Means to be suitable. Kalpanam here means that he created a planet suitable to his powers. Text 14 through 15. Ajita the sixth appeared during the Chakshusha Manvantara. Looney Tunes.
Kind of nervous.
That's all, folks. No. Hey, it works. People like that. In the sixth Manvantara millennium, Lord Vishnu, the master of the universe, appeared in his partial expansion. He was begotten by Vairaja in the womb of his wife, Deva Shambhuti, and his name was Ajita. By churning the ocean of milk, Ajita produced nectar for the demigods. In the form of a tortoise, he moved here and there, carrying on his back the great mountain known as Mandara. The son of Chakshusha was Chakshusha, who became Manu. During his reign, Ajita appeared. Vairaja was his father and Sambhuti was his mother. So it appears that this Ajita, he took the role of both. He was helping with the churning and he was holding up. Because then Ajita, he was there, and when it came to taking up, Vasuki was being used as the churning rope. So once they got it all situated, then he, knowing that the head would be a big problem, immediately went for it. And the demigods, knowing that Vishnu, he's the smartest, so he'll naturally go for the best, and they demand, no, we get the head. So then, how do you say, Ajita graciously, okay, if you guys want, we'll take the tail, what to do. So it worked. It worked out. Text 16. Vamana, the seventh, appearing during the Vaivasvata Manvantara. Vamana appeared as the Manvantara was described previously. Shraddhadeva, the son of the sun, thus he is called Vaivasvata Manu, son of Vivasvan. Otherwise, if he was from Sweden, he'd be called Sun-Sun.
Sun-Sun, yes. That he would be called.
Yes. Sun-Sun.
Sol-Sun.
Huh?
Sol-Sun.
Sol-Sun.
Okay.
S-O-L. Sun. Okay. So Sol-Sun. Thus he is called Vaivasvata Manu, son of Vivasvan. Became Manu. During his reign, Vamanadeva appeared. Okay. Text 17. Sarvabhauma, the eighth, appeared during Savarini Manvantara. In the eighth Manvantara, the greatly powerful personality of Godhead, Sarvabhauma, it will take birth. So Savarani is also born of the sun god. His father will be Deva Guhya, and his mother will be Saraswati. He will take the kingdom away from Purandara, Lord Indra, and give it to Bali Maharaj. Oh, this is eighth Manvantara. Okay. Because in the eighth Manvantara, because in the seventh he took it away from Bali Maharaj. Mm-hmm. And now in the eighth, Bali Maharaj becomes the Indra, so now he takes it away from Indra and gives it back to Bali. And now Bali's, you know, official, so he can sit in the heavenly planets. The seven future Manvantaras will now be described, starting with the avatar in Savarani Manvantara. The Manu was Savarani, born to Surya and Chaya. During his reign, Sarvabhauma appeared. Deva Guhya was his father, and Saraswati was his mother. Text 18. Rishabha, the ninth, appeared during the Daksha Savarnini Manvantara. Seems that from here, they're all Savarnini. Because you have Savarani, Daksha Savarani, Brahma Savarani, Rudra Savarani, Dharma Savarani, Deva Savarani, and Indra Savarani. So that's how you tell the difference between the first seven and the second. The second all have the Savarani. Yes.
I think it's based on page 24. We can assume that this list is just the list of the manu.
This
names of all the manus.
This first 14. Yes.
Yeah.
So I think that's, yeah. But I'm saying Manu is still an empowered personality.
Yeah.
But it seems that they somehow know that there's a connection between the Manu, the Manvantara.
Yeah.
I mean the Manvantara avatara,
mm-hmm.
the Manvantara, and then Indra.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's touched on in 6:30 and 31.
Okay. So it's coming attraction. Yes.
Those Manvantaras, the demigods, they live through them.
Only yes.
The human beings, they kind of short-lived.
Human beings here.
Yeah.
It's just everybody lives according to their 100 years. So we have our 100 years, but then one of our years is one of their days. Mm-hmm. And so then... You know, so then they live for their... I mean, their experience, it may be so many thousands of celestial years. But the point is in their experience, it's still 100 years. You know? It works out. It's just like... like we give the example of the kid in the back seat of the car when you're on a long drive, you know. Every 30 seconds, it's kind of like, you know, it's been hours, so are we there, you know? So like that. You know, so the ant, he lives for, you know, so many days, but to him, it's a full, long life. You know, there's bugs that come out at night, fly around the light bulb, in the morning, they're dead. So they did a whole 100 years of what's, you know, whatever it is in one night. You know?
Efficient.
Hmm?
Efficient.
Yeah, and then the gopis danced with Lord Brahma. I mean, with Krishna, it was a night of Brahma. So that means it's this whole time of all 14 manus. But to them, it just seemed like one night. There was actually, millions and millions of years. Actually, billions of years. Is that enough? Yeah. Okay. Rishabha the ninth appearing during Daksha Savarani. Manvantara. Rishabdeva, a partial incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will take birth from his father, Ayushman, and his mother, Ambudhara. He will enable the Indra named Adbhuta to enjoy the opulence of the three worlds. So, Rishabha, son of the demigod Varuna. Srimad Bhagavatam 8:13:20. Daksha Savarani, the son of Varuna, will become the Manu. During his reign, Rishabha will be the Manvantara avatar. Ayushman will be his father, and Ambudhara will be his mother. Indra will enjoy the three worlds acquired by Rishabha. So in other words, it must have been there was some loss or something, and then he gets it all back. So even being Indra, there's problems. So it's all just great. Right? Text 19. Vishvakshena, the tenth, appeared during the Brahma Savarani Manvantara. In the home of Vishvasrasta, a plenary portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead will appear from the womb of Vishuchi as the incarnation known as Vishvakshena. He will make friends with Shambhu. Srimad Bhagavatam 8:13:23. Brahma Savarani, the son of Upashloka, will become the tenth manu. During his reign, Vishvakshena will be the avatar. Vishvajit will be his father, and Vishuchi will be his mother. He'll make friends with the Indra named Shambhu. So that must mean the Indras also have maybe names or something, because each time there's an Indra, so then this one's Shambhu. Mm-hmm. Because his own name is Brahma Savarani. Text 20. Dharmaksetu, the 11th, appeared during the Dharma Savarani avatar. The son of Aryaka, known as Dharmaksetu, a partial incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will appear from the womb of Vaidvita. the wife of Aryaka, and will preserve the three worlds. Srimad Bhagavatam 8.13.26. During the reign of Dharma Savarani Atmanu, Dharma Setu will become the avatar. Aryaka will be his father, and Vaidrita will be his mother. He will preserve the three worlds. Text 21. Sudama the 12th appealed during Rudra Savarani Manvantara. From the mother named Sundrita and the father named Satyasaha will come Svadhamma, the partial incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He will protect that Manvantara. Srimad Bhagavatam 8.13.29. During the reign of Rudra Savarani, Sudama will become the Manvantara avatara. His father will be Satyasaha, and his mother will be Sundrita. He will protect that period. Text 22. Yogeshwar the 13th, appearing during Deva Savarani Manvantara. The son of Devahotra, known as Yogeshwara, will appear as a partial incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His mother's name will be Brihati. He will perform activities for the welfare of Divaspati. Srimad Bhagavatam 8.13.32. During the reign of Deva Savarani, Yogeshwara will be the avatar. His father will be Devahotra, and his mother will be Brihati. He will perform actions for Indra. So we see most of the time is the avatar that comes, and what they do is more described than the Manu himself. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the Manu is described nicely, but many times the avatar is described more. Because here we get this whole list in the eighth canto. But we see that, you know, Vamana and others are coming much earlier. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're getting the descriptions.
And Maharaj, yes. Aussi, avatar, c'est helping Indra.
Yes. It means, basically it's saying they're protecting Indra. So, in other words, obstacles that will come in his reign due to persons, you know, just creating disturbance, then that avatar takes care of them. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? You know, like Ajita controlled the demons for the churning of the milk of Sharan. Mm-hmm. He's had the things. It says some of the others, he had Rakshas, Yakshasas, and Guhyapas. But they were creating some problems for Indra, so then he takes care of that. Mm-hmm. So he just sees to the smooth running of the universe.
This means that Indra cannot take care of himself.
Basically, maintenance is kind of Vishnu's thing, you know, like that. So it works out that way. But you always need something more. Indra always has, you know, he has a certain amount of power. Yeah. But if you're taking care of these things, then it doesn't require a big war, just like the king has his generals and ministers to take care of all the obstacles of the management. Then if there's something serious, then we'll see, you know, they'll go out, there'll be war and everything like that. But even then, we always see that the need for the Lord to come,
yes,
or the Lord's pure devotee, you know, like with the Nivedikavachas, then Arjuna came. Mm-hmm. Like that. So it means from the level of the demigods, then it's quite obvious the position of Vishnu and how important he is. Down here, then we may forget. But up there, it'll be hard to forget. No, but you don't have to worry. They do a good job, but, you know, but it's harder to forget. But, you know, still the influence of the modes of nature, then, you know, sometimes they... Especially when Krishna's down here. When he's there, then that they generally are aware of. But when he comes in incarnations of the earth, then sometimes they're not really aware of what's happening. Brihad Bhanu the 14th, appearing during Indra Savarani. Manvantara. O King Parikit, in the 14th Manvantara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead will appear from the womb of Vinata, and his father's name will be Satyayana. This incarnation will be celebrated as Brihad Bhanu, and he will administer spiritual activities. During the reign of Indra Savarani Manu, Brihad Bhanu will be the avatar. Satyayana will be his father, and Vinata will be his mother. He will propagate the teachings of karma, prescribed action. Text 24. The 12 Manvantar avatars have been, 12 have been described. They should be counted along with Yajna and Vamadeva, who are already described to make 14. Thus ends the description on the of the Manvantara avatars, the Yuga avatars. The Yuga avatars will be described by name and color. In the Satyayuga, the Lord is white and is called Shukla. In the Treta Yuga, he is red and is called Rakta. In Dwapara Yuga, he is blackish and called Shyama. And in Kali Yuga, he is black and called Krishna. And so one is blackish and one is black. So it just means a darker color. Name and color are given for the four yugas. In general, for all Kali Yugas, the color is black, Krishna. Harivamsa says, Krishna, Kali Yuga, Vibhu. The Lord is black in Kali Yuga. In that Kali Yuga, when golden-colored Lord Chaitanya appears, the regular black-colored avatar resides within him. One should see the statement of Kadabhajana in the 11th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.20-234. Text 26. So that gives more meaning to Trisha Krishna, rather than just he's not Krishna colored meaning because he's Krishna from there, but he's also in this avatar he's not black.
Yes.
You know. So then that's then what also would catch Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's mind is that because he's saying, well, he's Triyuga. Mm-hmm. You know, so in Triyuga, then generally in Kali Yuga, he's always a jiva, right? And he's black, but this is Trisha Krishna, so he's not black, he's golden. Mm-hmm. But then still the problem comes with the jiva, and here he appears, he has the symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mm-hmm. So then he has to work those things out.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
If it's usually a jiva who comes in Kali Yuga, why is it mentioned here that Krishna has come in Kali Yuga?
Because this is the special one. In the Vaibhasvata Manu in the 28th Yuga cycle, that's then when Swayam Krishna comes. We also see then the avatars, Lord Chaitanya. So that means, so is Swayam Krishna also coming there. And then in that one also, then Vyasadeva, instead of being a jiva, is Vishvatattva. So it seems to be that all goes together.
I just thought that usually it was Vishnu-sattva avatar that was coming.
It's mentioned that he's jiva. In the other three, then he's always Vishnu-tattva. But in the Kali Yuga, generally he's always jiva. Right, that's it. Jiva Goswami mentioned, wasn't it? Jiva mm-hmm. Goswami and Vishwanath.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay? Yeah. But in this one, then he's Swayam Krishna, not even just Vishnu Tattva.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So that's what's special. But that only happens once in a day of Brahma. So that in the thousand cycles, it happens once.
So what is the special quality that he is manifesting when he's coming in that Vishnu form? It's not the sweetness, it's all reverence?
It means which Vishnu form?
Like in the other, not the Swayam Krishna.
It'll always be Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha. Yeah. Like that. It may be up to Dwarka, but never Braj. So Braj is open once in the day of Brahma. So that's another thing is that, you know, you don't want to wait around to the next one if you miss this one, right? You know, in other words, take advantage now. It's then there's only 10,000 years left, and then you have to wait for another day of Brahma. Right? Of course, there's always the Brahmanda Brahmite. You can always go to another universe if you want. But next week. Sorry, we're only going up to the third covering.
Yeah.
Right, so it's something very special than what's happened now that we can take part, you know. And then so
I mean, the conclusion would be, you know, such special mercy rather than, you know, we're so great, you know.
Can it be both?
It's very special, then. Okay. Yes?
Special?
I mean, that one has gotten the mercy of the Lord, so definitely, but, you know, one should not be proud of it. It doesn't seem to get one very far.
To go the other way, then.
Krishna and false ego don't seem to go well together. Right? You know? But Lord Shiva does okay with it, but he's on this side, right? Okay. The Manvantaras descend as the Yuga avatars and Satya and other Yugas for teaching special types of worship for that period. Why should the Yuga avatars appear? This verse answers. Because there should be a reason. What's the difference between them? Right, so that, otherwise, why do we categorize into these groups? So then it's very clear. The Guna avatars, the Lila avatars, the Manvantara avatars, and the Yuga avatars. Yes.
So it can be that they all appear sometimes at the same time, and each does their own job?
Yes.
Like Manvantara avatar, and then the Yuga avatar comes to do something particular?
Yeah. That's
to
a problem.
More fun?
Yeah. I mean, it's like this. It's, you know, you're sitting at home, right, on your couch and all that. At the same time, you could be down, you know, sitting on the bench and banging your gavel and telling people to be quiet. You know, at the same time, you could be, you know, out on, you know, golfing with the other, you know, how you say, judges. You know what I'm saying? You do all of that at once. So what's the problem?
It's too crowded, you know.
It's a whole universe. There's enough space. So I say, you have to remember in this. They're masculine. There's plenty of space. Yeah, no. It's because it's, what do you call it? It's just like if a man's in a room, and not doing anything specific, he takes up basically as much false ego as his space.
Yes.
You know, like that. But if a woman's in the room, it's the whole room. So if anybody else enters the room, they've entered her space. You know, and depending on the mood, then it can go the whole house, or if someone you don't like, the whole city. You know, sometimes even the whole planet, you know, but you know, that's harder to regulate. But, yeah, like that. So it's not a problem. that's the. Okay, the avatar presiding for a particular manvantara will appear in each of the yugas of that manvantara for teaching the special type of worship for that period. The yuga avatars do not arise from garbhodakshaya. They appear through the ruling manvantara avatara. Oh, that's interesting. So then in a manvantara, you will have the avatar.
Yes.
And he will take care of Indra's business on that level. Mm-hmm. Then he'll have an expansion who will take care of the yuga dharma in the particular yuga that he is the avatar of. So that means then there'll be four avatars expanding from the manvantara avatar.
Yes.
And then every satyayuga, the satyayuga avatar will so 71 times he'll...
Yes.
Establish that, and then the Treta Yuga one 71 times, each one will like that. That's far out. So then you don't have to have it one each time, so then there's not 1,000 of them. You know, times four, it's not 4,000 of them, there's only 4 times 14.
Yes, yes.
So that makes.
And one by one.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure they're all there at once, and then they just do. It's just like when. Nala, he wasn't from Kali Yuga. I'm not sure what Yuga he was in. But it would have at least been Treta.
but I don't know if it was Dwapara, but it wasn't Kali Yuga. And when Damayanti was her Swayamvara, she was, you know, it's just like we heard, you know, Kunti and Draupadi and Gandhari, then they were the girl, you know, to marry on the planet. So Damayanti was the girl to marry in the universe. Even though it was just here, so she was just, you know, human, but she was so qualified. And so she was the most beautiful female, other than Lakshmi, in the universe. But and Nala was the most beautiful living entity in the universe other than Vishnu. So that means he was even more attractive than her. Like that. That was his way. He was the most attractive. But, the two are a natural match. Like that. So, therefore, the demigods were interested. So then when the demigods were coming to take part in the Swayamvar, and I think, one is she heard about it, and getting there, they understood what was happening. So she, before, had inquired from some sage that how do you tell a demigod from a human? And they said, humans blink, demigods don't. And the demigods, when they understood that she was only going to marry Nala, because she already heard about him before and decided she was going to marry him, like Rukmini, you know, yes. Krishna. So then they all took the form of Nala. So when she came down with the garland, there were just, you know, thousands of Nalas. So she went up to each one and just stood in front of them, the next, until she found the one that blinked. And then she put the garland there. So the demigods were very pleased with that. You know, because one, they'd want to get her as a wife, but at the same time, if the girl is so chaste that she could have any of the demigods, but she still chooses the one that she already gave her heart to, they thought, no, this is good. I think she's one of the five. I think Damayanti is counted as one of them. Either the five or the eight or something, she's one of them. So then they all gave blessings and everything. So when the demigods were coming back, they were all happy. You know, they were taken care of nicely and everything, and it went well. And they thought it was very religious. But on the way back, Kali Raj was coming, but he was a little late. And he's saying, you're all smiling, so, you know, who got the girl? Indra or this or that? No. And then they said it was Nala. They said, Nala? You know, who's Nala? You know, because he's the king of the Nishadas also, right? You know, so then, you know, he says, how is that? This is insulting, right? The demigods go, and then she picks, you know, a human. He decides he's going to go make trouble. So then he came down and had to wait because they were so qualified. But one day, then Nala, after eating, he was in a rush or lazy or something. When he washed his feet after eating, he didn't wash his whole foot. He only, you know how sometimes the water's there, you just stick your toes in?
Yes.
Like that, you know. I mean, of course, no one here would do that.
No.
So because of that, the heel wasn't washed, so Kali Raj entered through his heel. Like that. Therefore, you wash your whole foot. Because that's one of the things. He's allowed to enter if someone doesn't wash their whole foot. So then he went, and then Nala changed his, you know, it means then he got in the gambling match, because he lost everything also but through gambling. So that's what it's, when Manu says gambling doesn't work out for kings, they give Yudhishthir and Nala both as the reasons. And then he stayed with them for 12 years, like that. And I'm not sure how he, I guess, you know, 12 years is a cycle of Jupiter, so that's generally the standard length of punishment for, you know, the worst offense, like that. And so then, after 12 years, he left. It worked out, yeah, because he had turned, and he was like a dwarf and all that. A dwarf and, you know, kind of hunched, but he was good chariot. So when it was been so long, they couldn't, the queen couldn't find him. You know, she had tried, you know, yeah, all the spies, right? So they're all looking. So they can't get any word. But, you know, she knows certain things about him, right? So then she puts out word with her people to go to all the kingdoms. And, you know, at a certain time, then say that she got an idea, I think it was in one kingdom he might be there, but not sure.
So they went there, and they announced that Damayanti was having another Swayambar, because it's been so long, you know, so she's going to accept another husband. But the distance was such that the only way you could get there is if your horses could fly. Right. And no one knew how to make the horses fly. So that was one of the points. And also, what do you call it? When they'd fly, when he'd run it, then the chariot would make a certain sound like that. No one else would make that sound. And then he could start fire just by showing, you know, grass to the sun, or just asking the sun, it'll start a fire. If he walks through the door, he doesn't have to bend down, he'll get bigger. Mm-hmm. And also, it's the last. Anything he cooks is like nectar. So when he'd cook, he wouldn't have to, you know, look at it, smell it, taste it. He could touch the pot and feel how it was cooking. And he could tell if it was right. So he was a good cook. Yeah, well, he was cooking for himself, you know. But so when the time came, you know, when they're there, then Nala came. You know, because the king wanted to come. He was thinking, yeah, Damayanti, okay. But he's saying, it's too far, we can't make it in time. And then Nala's thinking, what's going on here? You know, so he says, I know how to make the horses fly. Like that. And so then he told them that, and then the king says, you can make horses fly. He says, you got to teach me that. And he says, the one condition is that you teach me dice. Because it was through dice against his brother, I think, that he lost the kingdom. So then the king taught him dice, and the horses were flying. And I forget something. There's something while they're flying along. Something came up with one of the... there was a tree, and I can't remember which one of them. Maybe it was the king. If something came up. You know how kings are. It's just, you know, things are, you know, what about that? What about, you know, can you do this? And all these things. I don't know what it was, but it was something about how many leaves on a tree, this one particular tree. And Nala says, this many leaves. And the king said, no, can't be. He says, count it. You know, so they stopped, and he counted all the leaves on the tree. You know, and he was right. You know, so I say, Rain Man, yeah, fog out. You know, you know. So it's like, you know, like that. Then they went, and then he pulled in. But the king was, you know, when they came in, the chariot was making this sound. The queen heard it and said, okay, you know. And then, but then when she went there, she didn't see Nala. She saw the king and this dwarf. You know, he was very ugly also. Black, ugly, and everything like that. So then she's bewildered, you know, because otherwise they flew and is this. And the king is starting to wonder what's happening, because there's no decoration, there's no arrangements. And he's thinking, this is weird, because, you know, Damayanti's father is very celebrated, so therefore it would be a nice arrangement, you know. So then, you know, comes in, and, you know, the king sends out as many, you know, they greet him and set him up and this, and then after, you know, bathing, eating and that, then they come and sit, and so, you know, how can we help you, what have you come, you know, what's the, you know, what kind of, it's a state visit, because the king himself came, no army, nothing, so this is special. And he says, oh, I heard there's a Swayambar, and the father said, Swayambar, what's Swayambar, because this is an arrangement of Damayanti, so even your father did. You know, so while this is going on there, Damayanti's telling her maidservants, go check around, you know, who came with him, who's there. Yeah. Go tell me what you see, just go and watch. And then she came back and said, you know, he wanted to cook, so he took a bunch of hay for the horses, held it up to the sun and lit the fire. You know, and she said, and then she, like that. So then she said, he says, get me that pot. I think that was the final thing, how she understood. Is getting the pot, and she tasted it. She said, that's him. So then I think, I'm not sure if she approached him or how it worked out, and then I think Kali Raj left and like that. So it all worked out. But he still had to then gamble with his brother to get the kingdom back. Like that. And so he got the kingdom back, and they all lived happily ever after. Yeah. Prabhupada's comment on Nala and Damayanti says, we have nothing to do with Nala and Damayanti. This is not one Krishna conscious sentence in the whole story. It's just like, you know, as good, as good as it gets mundane, it's a great story, but it's there's no Krishna in it.
Very nice story.
Huh?
Very nice story.
Yeah, no, you don't get much more. It's got all the elements in it. I say they're qualified, difficult to get together, then they get together, then they're separated, and then finally they get together, it's at home. It's good. Okay, so these don't come from Garbhodakshaya, they come from the Manvantara Avatara. So the Manvantara Avatara will come from Garbhodakshaya. Right? So that's why he says a partial. So he's part expansion of expansion. And even some of the times it's just a partial expansion depending on what he's doing in the Manvantara Avatara. Text 27, enumeration of the avatars. The Kalpa avatars, Manvantara avatars, and Yuga avatars together, total 41. There are 25 Kalpa avatars, 12 Manvantara avatars, and 4 Yuga avatars. The total is 41. Because we see is two of the Manvantara avatars are actually Kalpa avatars. And then they take that role.
Yes,
all these are Vishnu Tattva, except for the Kali Yuga avatar is a Jiva Tattva. Text 28 and 29. In the past, from the first Kalpa at Brahma's birth to the last Kalpa of the first half, thousands of kalpas have passed. The present kalpa is called Svetavaraha kalpa. So that's because this is now the first day in the second half of the life. So it's like when we say the when we're doing time in the sankalpa, you hear during the yajna. Then it's Brahma Dvitiya Parade, means the second half of the lifetime of. Mm-hmm. Of Brahma, Svetavaraha Kalpe, in the Svetavaraha Kalpe. Mm-hmm. Then Vaivasvata Manvantare, then, what's it? Asta, I can't remember, it means 28th cycle. Yeah. Then Kali Yuga, like that, then it just goes down. Because you start from Brahma's time and come down. Mm-hmm. As we were discussing yesterday after class, that's knowing time.
Yeah.
Like that. So that was what. When Prabhupada went to the Hyderabad installation, then he was received by these Sampat Kumar Bhattacharya and his assistants, and they greeted him and all that with the Purna Kumbha and all that. But then when they started the ceremony, they chanted all this. Then Prabhupada turned to one of the sannyasis there and said, "He's a Brahmin." Yeah, he was good. I think it was Head Pujari at Tirupati at some point. Okay, in the past, from the first Kalpa at Brahma's birth to the last Kalpa of the first half of Brahma's life, that means the first 50 years, from the first day to the last day of the first 50 years, thousands of Kalpas have passed. The present Kalpa is called Svetavaraha Kalpa. Vrita means in the past. The Svetavaraha Kalpa is the first day of the second half of Brahma's life. Right? So this term, the first day of the rest of your life. This is the first day of the second half of your
life. Life begins at 50.
Yes. Starting with the Brahma Kalpa, or the first day of Brahma's life, the Kumaras, Narada, and the others appear during Swayambhuva Manvantara. Others appear during the Chakshusha Manvantara and Vaivasvata Manvantara. So those are the Lila avatars.
13 avatars, kalpa avatars, beginning with the Kumaras, appear during the Swayambhuva Manvantara, and 12, beginning with Nisringa, appear during the Chakshusha Manvantara and Vaivasvata Manvantara. Varaha and Matsya appear in the Swayambhuva and Chakshusha Manvantaras, as mentioned in verse 362, footnote 21. It has also been mentioned that Korma appears twice, Vamana appears three times, Dhanvantara appears twice, and Mohini appears twice. Matsya also appears 14 times in a day of Brahma. So there's also some need to save the Vedas, so he does that. Plus, I guess it's fun being a fish. Yes.
Did the demigods influence by old age or something?
No, they just one day disappear. You'll be sitting there talking to them and they'll just kind of go through the floor. Okay, that was it. You know, and you turn and talk to someone else. That's it.
No prior notice?
I don't know about the men. I mean, you get garland fades and stuff like that. Like Indra, you know, suddenly he's sitting there and ruling, and suddenly there's this big fanfare. And, you know, all these things, and the sages are coming, and this new Indra's coming, and all that. And then he looks and sees his garland's faded, the other one is bright, so then that means his time's over. Right? But that means then they go up to Brahma Loka and stay for however long their karma, and then go down, or whatever. But I've only heard about the women kind of get a, you know, in other words, their whole 100 years, then they never get pregnant. So when they get pregnant, that means they only have that much time to live. So as soon as the child's born, basically after that, and the kid grows up immediately, so, you know, just in a few, I don't know if it's immediate or a couple hours, but then they grow up and then they turn 16 and see you later, Mom, and then God. You know, and that's the way it goes. So.
And it's really later. Hmm? Unless he comes back.
So, you know. It's not designed for, you know, kind of like family scene. Right? And all this thing, people are thinking, I'll go to heaven with my whole family and even my dog will go. It's like that. Nobody cares up there. But, you know. The manas starting with Swayambhuva and the Manvantara avatars such as Yajna appear with the same names in every day of Brahma. This verse explains that the names of the manas and the Manvantara avatars are the same in every kalpa of Brahma. So the same. So basically, the same thing's going on. One may ask why. It's a very simple answer. Chewing the chew. As it goes on. It's the same thing every day. There's slight different variation and everything, but it's the same thing. You know? Like that.
Is it their name or the post?
It'll have both. Because it's the same names.
Like Indra?
No, here's their name. Here's their name. But it mentions that the Manu, that's a post that has the name, but the avatar, that's his name. You know, it's just like the Swayam Krishna post is held by Swayam Krishna, so you don't have to worry about that one. The Manu, then he has other names and things like that. Yes.
What's the relationship between the Manus and the Prajapatis?
Prajapatis are always there.
They're always there.
Yeah, yeah, because they're that I know of, they're Chiranjeev like Brahma. So their position is so they're there from the beginning. So that they're the first two generations. Right? Brahma being the first, then his 10 sons, but only I think 7 of them have, you know, procreate. So then, and then from there, then the next generation, then putting it together, you get 21. So there's 21 Prajapatis. So they're always there. So at that level, because that level Manu was describing, they call it sattva of sattva. Right? It's goodness of goodness. So the Brahma, the Prajapatis, the Nakshatras, the Dharma Shastra, I think, I think Mahatattva, these are all sattva, like that. You probably even Pradhan.
But that's the level of that. Then it drops down, then you have the other demigods. Does that make sense? So they're living shorter lives. People who are on the Satyaloka, they are living for a long time. But below Satyaloka, where Indra's place starts, then it'll be, you know, by this Manvantara time. Does that make sense? So now we can see why it would be the Manvantara would be the length of time, because that's when the Manvantara avatara comes. So that's actually the important element in the Manvantara. Is the Vishnu deity, he comes for that time. Is that okay? So they go through the cycle. They're in the post for a 14th of a day of Brahma. But it appears that they, depending upon their piety, live longer after that in the Satyaloka. Because Satyaloka, whether that means, if it says Brahma's planet, that means Satyaloka itself. Otherwise, Satyaloka can refer to the system. So that's Satya Maharjana and Tapa. I think the Prajapatis live on Maharloka. Like that. So it's all part of Satyaloka. So if there's the very, you know, at the end of Brahma's day, then they all go up to Brahma's planet. Like that. So it makes sense. Text 31. In the Vishnu Dharmotra, Rudra asked a question. O Brahmana, do all the 14 Manus that you have described appear in every day of Brahma in that order, or is it otherwise? O knower of Dharma, please destroy my doubt. In the following verses, the author gives the scriptural proof that Manus of the same name appear in every day of Brahma. Markandeya answered, O king, there should be no doubt that the 14 Manus known by you are the same in every kalpa. You should know that they have the same form which has been described in every kalpa. By the desire of the Lord, some of them are slightly different. Sri Vishnu Dharmotara Purana. The Vishnu Dharmotara is the, you could say, the Upa Purana for the Vishnu Purana, like that. So for the Shris, the Vishnu Purana and the Vishnu Dharmotara, these are their main books, and then Vedanta Sutra, like that.
And for us,
it means we use them quite, but for us, Bhagavatam is the main book. And so even Vedanta Sutra is secondary to Bhagavatam. It's in support of that. That's why Jiva Goswami goes to such length to establish the Bhagavat Purana and why it's in that position. Otherwise, someone would say, oh no, but what about this? What about that? So that's why he goes through that whole step and shows the Vedas, then the Vedanta, right? And then the Puranas, and then of the Puranas, he shows like that. Otherwise, everybody's got an idea of what it should be.
It's just interesting that, you know, Rasacharya, you know, Rupa Goswami, he's writing this kind of scripture because it's very detailed and kind of dry.
Yeah.
But he has no problem with that.
No, because it's the Lord's pastimes. So he's thinking of the Lord, so it works. So Krishna's doing all these things. But it establishes things so you're very, very clear. Otherwise, someone may... You know, this whole thing of, you know, chronology and all these different elements that many times the neophyte gets really, really worried about. Then all these things are taken care of. So basically he's just dealing with things that are common questions or doubts. Like here he's putting this up, Rudra's question about this. So then it's being answered and it's very, very clear. So then you know exactly. But by doing this, then you also understand the ultimate point is the uniqueness of Swayam Krishna. That's the whole point. Just like that whole section that the Tattva Sandarbha, the whole point is that it's about Bhagavatam, and then that means because it's about Swayam Krishna. So it means all the Vedas, the most important thing is Swayam Krishna. That worship of Swayam Krishna, bhakti towards Swayam Krishna. And that's supported by the Bhagavatam. That makes sense. So in here, then, it's also in support to give that the uniqueness of Swayam Krishna. Otherwise, we see is that other, you know, avatars, they get a lot of time. in a canto, but not as much as Krishna gets in the 10th canto. When the 10th canto is bigger, it's only about him. It doesn't go into anything else on the side. It doesn't come in and go out of the story. And, is that okay?
It's just interesting that generally it's widely accepted that Jiva Goswami is like the perfect philosopher.
Yeah,
and he's establishing Bhagavatam as the supreme scripture.
Yes.
And yet, I mean, he's appreciated even by the Shris, no?
Yes.
And they remain with these, would we call them inferior scripture?
Which?
Shri Vishnu.
No, nothing is inferior. They're all perfect. It's just that Bhagavatam is more.
Mm.
You know, just like there's no problem with Krishna in Dwarka.
But they don't generally.
But more perfect is in Mathura.
Yeah,
more,
yeah.
Most
yeah.
perfect like that.
But they don't generally read Bhagavatam so much? Or?
They may. They know, because they know the stories and all that. It's just not their main book. It's like we may read so many books, but still Bhagavatam's our main book. Does that make sense? You know, like that. So, you know, like you might read, you know, stories about, you know, the life of Srinivasacharya, but still, Bhagavatam is the main. Because then in there you get the understanding of pure devotional service, then in reading the other things, so it works nicely. Okay. So, are you going to survive?
I'm just thinking.
No, I'm just saying. But even if you see it as dry, just appreciate the holiness of it. You know, like when you come over the hill, and then you can first see the Jordan Valley. You know, right? You know.
Yeah.
Okay. The dime prop.
it's good. Right? There's that tree, you know, you stop at that tree, you can see the whole thing. Yeah, so it's dry, but it's still holy.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, what is the need of such a detailed knowledge? Because most of it doesn't remain anyway, you just heard it and that's it.
But we have to remember is that the mission of Lord Chaitanya has 10,000 years. So there'll come a point where, you know, Prabhupada said the third generation, you know, it means, in other words, you have a very strictly practicing first generation, then their children who are properly practicing second generation, their children third generation. Then he said, they'll be real, you know, pujaris. They'll, you know, be able to, you know, start the fire by mantra, you know, these kind of things. So for them, this won't be dry because, you know, anyway, they can study it in Sanskrit, so then it makes it even better because then you appreciate the poetics of it. In English, you'll lose some of that, but, you know, and, you know, it'll work nicely for them. It's just like Jiva Goswami, we'll see when you get the Sandarbhas. In one sentence, he can give this really technical point of tattva, you know, on ontology or epistemology. And then the second half of the same sentence is some really high-level aspect of rasa. So they can see the connection between the things. You know, so it's not a problem for them. Because here it's just amazing things that Krishna does. Markandeya answered, O king, there should be no doubt that the 14 manas known by you are the same in every kalpa. You should know that they have the same form which has been described in every kalpa. By the desire of the Lord, some of them are slightly different. Footnote 22. The same names and personalities of the 14 manas are almost always repeated in each kalpa. This does not mean, however, that the same jivas come back kalpa after kalpa to play these roles. It's just the position is the same. The avatars may be divided into four: Avesha, Prabhava, Vaibhava, and Paravasta. Now another way of classifying the avatars is described. So now we've gone through it in this way. Now we look at it from another way. Just when you thought it was getting too dry. The sand is so dry. oh, but check out this Japanese sand. The balls are this big. Yeah.
You know, that's growing. That's growing. Yeah. Okay. Text 35. Among them, the Avesha are the same as the Avesha avatars previously described, such as the Kumaras, Narda, and Pita. The Lord empowers the Kumaras with a portion of jnana, Nard with a portion of bhakti, and Prithu, Parasram, and Kalki with a portion of his power. Text 36, 37. Padmapurana says, the Supreme Lord enters into the Kumaras and Narda by his portion. There also it is said, the Lord with his four hands holding the conch and chakra entered into Prithu. Text 38 to 39. The Lord, yes.
The same Lord enters?
Means whichever is the particular, wherever is the particular source. But the point is that the Avesha means that they have a power of the Lord. So the Lord's energy and the Lord are non-different, but at the same time, the energy has a special uniqueness. Yes. Therefore, then there's a difference made between which are how you say, Vishnu Tattva, and which are these Avesha avatars. Right? So who's... Because they're also Svamsa, but they're Svamsa meaning the energy. While the others are Vishnu Tattva themselves. Is that... Yes.
Maharshi calls that the Shakti Avesha.
Yeah, Shakti Avesha. Means, yeah, Avesha means so Shakti Avesha. Yeah, so that makes sense. The Lord also entered into Parasurama. This is also described in the Padma Purana as follows. O Goddess, the activities of the great soul Parasurama, a Shakti Avesha avatar of the Supreme Lord, holder of the bow, has been described. Bhargava means Parasurama. The verse is then quoted. The activities are such things as killing Kartavirya. Text 40. It is observed in the Vishnu Dharmotra that Kalki is also an Avesha avatar. The Lord does not appear in Kali Yuga directly in visible form as in the other yugas. Thus he is described as appearing in three yugas. Footnote 23. On these grounds it can be inferred that Buddha is an Avesha avatar. At the end of the Kali Yuga, Vasudeva enters into Kalki, a teacher of spiritual matters, and protects the world. Entering in Kali Yuga into those jivas who have previously appeared, the Lord carries out his desired activities. Right. So then Buddha, the Yuga Avatara, and Kalki, yes. Then will be all Avesha. But one should not say that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appears in Kali Yuga, is not a directly visible form of the Lord. He is not actually the Yuga Avatara of Kali. The regular Kali Yuga Avatara is black and is a jiva. According to the words of Garga, in a special Kali Yuga, the Lord himself, not a jiva, appears in a yellow form. The black form enters into the golden form of Lord Chaitanya. When Lord Chaitanya appears, this resolves the problem. Right? So then, this means it's going to be the Shakti Avesha. Right? So that Avesha is there in Lord Chaitanya. It's not necessarily the jiva is there, but just the... Well, actually, it would have to be, because that jiva does that function for... all 71 Kali Yugas, I mean, all 70 Kali Yugas. But in this one, then Lord Chaitanya does it himself. So he would be like Brahma when he goes back into Vairaja. Like that. Yes?
What would be the destination of somebody who would worship one of these Avesha avatars, for example, Parasuram?
Generally Vaikuntha. Because there
is a type of planet there, Parasuram?
Yeah. Basically, there'll be some aspect of the Lord, because they're expanding from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Right? So then there'll be some aspect, but this is a portion of a portion. So then there'll be some planet that's connected with Prajumna, and then those expansions of those that will be somehow another connected with there. Like that. So yes, there'll be some place. Thus it should be understood that calling the Avesha forms avatars of the Lord is a secondary designation, since they are actually jivas. Amishu refers the forms starting with the Kumaras, including Narada, Prithu, Parasuram, and ending with Kalki. Footnote 24. This means that Dattatreya, Kapila, Rishabha, Danvantara, Mohini, as well as the 14 Manvantara avatars and Yuga avatars are Ishvara forms. This is confirmed in the list of Prabhava and Vaibhava forms that follows. The four Kumaras, Narad, Prithu, Parasuram, Kalki, Sesha, who holds up the earth, and sometimes Brahma and Shiva are jivas. Buddha does not mention the list of Avesha avatars or the list of Prabhava and Vaibhava forms. However, it is safe to assume that he is an Avesha form, since the list of Avesha forms mentioned here are not limited to the list given. He also appears in Kali Yuga when the Lord does not directly appear. These forms of the Lord with less power than the Paravasta forms are described according to the degree of power that they show. Now begins the description of the general characteristics of the Prabhava and Vaibhava forms. Okay, so the others, the Shakti, how much is necessary to perform their activity. Now the ones who are these other aspects of the Lord. Because it always says that he's a partial manifestation. So that means this. The difference is here described. The Prabhava forms have less power and the Vaibhava forms have more power. According to the scriptures, the Prabhava forms are of two types. The first type appears for a short period of time and is not well known. These are Mohini, Hamsa, and the white, red, Shama, and black forms of the Yuga avatars. The Prabhava forms are divided according to qualities shown by the forms. There are six forms which do not remain for a long period. The second type are Danvantari, Rishabha, which is here. The Bhagavad Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami indicates Rishabha as a Avesha avatar. Vyas, Dattatreya, and Kapila, they are writers of scriptures that act like sages. These forms remain visible for a longer period of time and act like sages such as Danvantari. There are five in this category. The total number of Prabhav forms is 11. There are 21 Vaibhav forms. Korma, Matsya, Naranarayana, Varaha, Hayagriva, Krishnigarbha, Baladev, and the 14 Manvantara avatars, including Yajna and Vamana. Now begins, so there's an overlap there. Now begins a description of the characteristics of the Vaibhava forms, which display more power than the Prabhava forms. Naranarayana are counted as one form. Thus the total comes to 21. Yagyadi refers to the 14 Manvantara avatars. So that's Sanskrit. In other words, they're referred to as Yagyadi. So you get, you see, if it was in Sanskrit, you get much more pleasant. So, you know, yeah.
Baladev?
That's
mentioned here.
Baladev. Because you always have, how you say? In the Dwapara Yuga, then we see Baladev always comes.
He's Vaibhav Prakash, though, the special category.
Yeah, well, this is because it's Swayam.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they're just counting as Vaibhava, not necessarily whether it's Prakash or not.
Yeah.
But he's the only one who's Vaibhav
Prakash. Yeah. But at the same time, as every Dwapara Yuga, there'll be Balaram. Like in some lists that you see the 10 avatars, it's Balaram. But, you know, Balaram, you know, Krishna always comes as Balaram.
He's not coming on his own.
No, he'll come with Krishna. So sometimes you see it's just Balaram mentioned, sometimes Krishna and Balaram, sometimes Krishna. Mm. But they both go together. Okay. Varaha and Hayagriva amongst the Nava Vyuha, and Hari, Vaikuntha, Ajita, and Vamana along among the Manvantara avatars, though Vaibhava forms are considered similar to Paravasta forms. Mm-hmm. Among the 21 Vaibhava forms, special ones such as Varaha are now mentioned. The Nava Vyuha are as follows. Navavyuha consists of Vasudev, Sankarshan, Aniruddha, Prajumna, Narayana, Nishinga, Hayagriva, Varaha, and Brahma. Varaha and Hayagriva among the Nava Vyuha, and Hari, Vaikuntha, Ajita, and Vamana among the Manvantara avatars, making a total of 6 avatars, are similar to the Paravasta forms. Among the 21 Vaibhava forms, these are outstanding because of having additional powers. Paravasta? What's the Paravasta?
There's a footnote here. The 26.
Oh, 26. Okay. The remaining forms, Nrsingha, Rama, and Krishna, are considered Paravasta, superior position forms. So that means of these Vaibhava, then these 9 are considered more special. Mm-hmm. Right? So then in there also then Shankarshan would come. Because that's Pali. Mm. It's just a matter of whether it's in Shankarshan form, you know, or whether it's as Swayam, you know, like that.
Why they destroy the Brahma?
Sorry?
Why they add in Brahma?
It doesn't specifically mention here, so that Brahma means you have to go back. It wouldn't be the Jiva Brahma. That would either be the Vairaja, or then, you know, behind that is the Hiranyagarbha as Mahavishnu, you know, that aspect of Mahavishnu. The places where some of these avatars reside, so that's why you hear of these ones more. Generally, there's more happening with their pastimes, because more power is displayed. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's, as the power is displayed, you see is that how much of their dimension is there. A Mohini comes up and disappears. Yes. The others come, then other ones are described. Yes. Like Nrsingadeva goes, you hear it in the 7th canto, but you also hear about it earlier. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's more of more happening there. Okay. The places where some of these avatars reside within the universe will now be described according to scriptures. The statement of Vishnu Dharmotra and other scriptures are presented as proof. The superior position of the Vaibhav Avasta incarnations is evidenced by their possessing permanent abodes of their own in this world. Their abodes are now described. Because the other ones are manifesting and going back, you know, expanding, or just, you know, moving on to the other. But the other ones, then they stay. So they're a little bit more, you know, it's kind of like whether you get an office or not. In the Vishnu Dharmotra, it said, above Talatala is the place called Mahatala, the 5th hellish planet of a similar dimension. It is red in color. It has a lake measuring 100,000 yojanas. In that place, Kurma resides. 100,000 yojanas, so 800,000 miles. So 1.2 million kilometers. So he stays in that lake.
Why would he reside in
Hellish Planet? Only for him it will be
hellish.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it says, you have a city, right? Yes. And there's some, you know, slum there, right? And then in the same city, you have the rock shields.
Yes.
Sometimes you have to go somewhere else. You see those people.
You're passing through in a limousine. Air conditioned, makes no sound. And the windows are tinted, and you're watching your video or talking on your phone.
No, I'm thinking.
But generally, they don't go down those roads, they go around. But the Lord comes out for his pastime, so naturally, yes, that's fair.
I'm sure there are plenty of lakes, even bigger than those, in Brahmaloka somewhere.
The point is wherever the Lord is, then it's nice. So it won't be a problem. Don't worry, the rent won't go down.
Just worry for him.
It's you know, that's what we said, 1.2 million kilometer lake. Who's going to bother him? You know?
And turtles, you know, you've seen the tortoises. How often do you see them on the top, right? So they have enough. They're good. Above Talatal and of the same dimension lies another planet, Rasatala, with an attractive lake measuring 300 yojanas. Matsya resides there. Here's a smaller one.
But they couldn't fit in the same one? Maybe they also have some
policy. Wait a minute here. First, you're complaining about the place. Then you're complaining, you know, that they should have this. And then you're complaining that they got to, you know, double up. You know.
Because previously I said too crowded. That four avatars, you know, coming at the same time, different ones. Now they're different, and they can't even reside in the same way. They have to have different planets.
Because it's their place. They have their own people to hang out with.
That's the
Matsya resides there. The Vishnu Dharmota Purana names the Patala planets differently and places them in a different order than the Srimad Bhagavatam, calling the lowest Patala, the next above that Sutala, and the others in order. Abhashatala, Gabasha Tala, which Srila Baladeva Vibhushan identifies with Tala Atala. Mahatala, Bhima Tala, the same as Rasa Tala according to Srila Baladeva, and a second Bhima Tala. Narayan, the friend of Nara, lives in Bhadarikashram. Vibhoda Varaha, who is half human and half boar, is in Maharloka. It measures 3 million yojanas.
Okay.
A little bigger. Okay, footnote 20. This refers to Nri Varaha, the form of Varaha as half man, half boar. The attractive abode of Sesha measures 500,000 yojanas. It is said that the abode of Varaha is self-effulgent. It is below other planets. And it touches the shell of the universe. The white-colored Varaha lives there. Footnote 29. This refers to the abode of the four-legged Sweta Varaha. According to Vishnu Dharmotra, it lies below the seven Patala regions and the planet of Kalinga Rudra. Above this lies another abode called Gabishti Tala. It is yellow in color. It is the 14th planet from the bottom. Hayashirsha resides there. He is white like 100 moons. And wears gold ornaments. The abode of Prishnigarbha lies above the planet of Brahma. The abode of Balaram is the same as that of Krishna. Balaram's portion, Sesha, resides on Patala Loka. His flag marked with a palm tree. He is an eloquent speaker and is decorated with garlands of forest flowers. Above his head, he always carries a number of hoods bedecked with jewels. He has a plow, a club, and a sword. He is arrayed in blue garments, Vishnu Dharmotra Purana 1:4-15-16. Where does the Sesha who holds up the universe reside? The verse answers, this Sesha is an Aveshavatar. He is called eloquent because he speaks Bhagavatam to the Kumaras.
Which Sesha is that?
The Jiva Sesha is. Mm-hmm.
Text 63. The planet of Hari is above Brahmaloka. The abodes of the four prominent Manvantara avatars, Hari, Vaikuntha, Ajita, and Vamana, are now described in six lines. The abode of the Lord named Vaikuntha is on Swargaloka, where Vaikuntha Loka manifests. The abode of Ajita is on Dhruvaloka. So it appears that this is a different Vaikuntha. So it's not just that there's the one that we could see, I guess then the others are not, so I guess it was more of a private one that Lakshmi asked to have made, right? Vamana's abode is on Bhuvarloka. Vamana also lives on Tapaloka and Brahmaloka. He also built an abode on the upper part of Brahmaloka. Vishnu Dharmotra Purana 1:5-22-24. Because he's Indra's brother, so you know. And being the Lord, he can move around as he pleases.
Got a summer home.
Yeah, summer home. Non-devastation home, devastation home.
Can we say that all the avatars, they have their personal devotee? All these avatars,
they have their own devotees. Yes. So that's who will be there on their planet. So it's not just that they're alone. Yes, they have their associates.
Yes. And it's like a personal mood.
Yes, personal. It's personal. It's just regular things go on.
Yes.
You know, they hold court and they do all the different things that are done, eat lunch and, you know, take rest and all. Yes.
What is meant when it says that Vaikuntha Loka manifests on Swarga?
So there must be some place there where, because you have the 22 Swarga Lokas, so somewhere there, Vamana must have his place because he's the brother of Indra, so they're always spending time together. In other words, he has his place wherever it is. That's the point, is that we, another, you could say this aspect, then we have this idea is that this is a material world, the Lord can't have a place here. Like the other day I heard a devotee had a doubt that how can we say that that Gokul is the place that the living entity goes to get trained before going to Goloka. Because, you know, this guy would go back to Godhead, we go back to Godhead. What's this,
halfway house.
The point is there's no difference between the place. Is this wherever the Lord likes, that's the spiritual world. And wherever, because it's all his energy, he can pull out whichever one he wants. Does that make sense? So they all have their places, they're residing around, so we can see there's a lot more going on in the universe than just us. Because otherwise there's us, and then, you know, this universe and stuff like that, and then, okay, you know, this is okay, yeah, the spiritual world, yeah, you know, and then, you know, like that. But it's that there's so many. There's so many avatars, there's so many things. Because otherwise, then the tendency is to think, because it's Kali Yuga, then I dictate how things work. And that's generally the Kali Yuga. You know, that is a man that Kali Yuga would be, I mean, Kali Rod, you know, himself would be proud of. Like, he's my representative, yes. So, you know, so one has to be careful. So this just makes it that the whole universe is, you know, the Lord's there, his pastimes, there's always somebody, something going on somewhere. Does that make sense? So it gives a different vision. Does that make sense? Yeah. Indra describes the places of Vamana to Narada in the Harivamsa. O great sage, having broken Swarga with his footstep, Trivikram made his abodes in the planets above Swarga up to Brahmaloka. Harivamsa 2.70.37. O Narada, having broken Swarga with his foot, he has made his attractive abodes above the upper planets from Tapaloka to Brahmaloka. It is described in the scriptures that the remarkable abodes of all the avatars exist in the spiritual world. So these are also, like you could say, extensions of those. Just these are the manifestation of the same place, lower.
Yes.
Right? It's just like Goloka, you know, Braj has its manifestation here. Dwarka has its manifestation here. So Vaikuntha has its manifestation here. Like that. But all throughout the universe, right? Then you also have their places. This verse describes that all the avatars have abodes in the spiritual world as well. So that answers that, you know, question. And then their associates, they're the ones that are there with them.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll have their eternal associates, and then they'll also have jivas who then, you know, perfect themselves and come up to this.
And those places are eternal?
Yes. You know, so they're not destroyed when the universe is destroyed, because they're situated in the spiritual world. But they also are situated here. Mm-hmm. So if there's a destruction here, then they just are there.
Yes.
You know, does that make sense? It's just like you're walking down the beach when the wave comes, you just move. You don't have a problem. It is said in the Padma Purana, all the dazzling avatars such as Matsya and Kurma reside in the eternal Vaikuntha world. Thus ends the description of the abodes of the avatars. I've heard it said, though, that in the spiritual world they don't have, you know, like a horse head or a lion head or like that. They're just regular Vishnumurtis. But, you know, the mood is the same. Because otherwise, what's the meaning of the difference in the different
forms.
Mm-hmm. What does it mean, really?
Well, no, but what does korma do? See, korma is just like you take korma. What is the... Was this chapter 4?
That was chapter 4.
No, no, we're on chapter 5. Looking up. There's a few date trees. Okay. Mood.
Kurma.
Because they're trying to perform an activity, right? Churning the mountain. They want to get nectar. But how is that based on the Lord? Yes, but before they do that, what happens? They get stuck. They get stuck in the mud. So in other words, even material activity, you want to do it, if the Lord's the center, then it works. And then the activity is going to go on. Okay? But then the activity won't be stable unless it's also then made stable by the Lord. Therefore, Prishadagarbha sits on the top. You know, so Korma gets his back scratched on the bottom, and on the top, you know, Prishadagarbha, you know, gets to, you know, spin. Like that. And then Krishna's down there with the demigods, you know, pulling and doing, having that taste. You know, so you actually can't do the activity. So the basis, you know, the activity itself, the goal, nothing is, it can be done without the Lord. That's why you see, this is explained in the Bhagavatam. You get more detail. Other Puranas don't give such detail. They just say the pastime basically happened. They don't give as much detail. Okay, so end here and then continue on Thursday with chapter 5. We'll see if rainy season comes.
Chapter 5 is over 500 verses. Chapter 5 is over 500 verses.
Is there any other chapter than chapter 5?
Yeah, one after that, but that one's very short.
Oh. Okay. And then, yeah, as you mentioned, Friday there won't be class. No.
No morning.
Okay, no morning. I just figured that out today. 26, 27.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai,
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki
jai,
Jainatai Gaurapai.